Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Welcome to our four-hour program. I'm kidding. I have 56 minutes to be precise. It's just that I have 4 hours of material. My goodness, what a week it has been. I'm going to do my best to condense it. But it has been a great week in the natural. And I say only in the natural, not in the supernatural, not in the heaven. Well, maybe in the heavenlies and the regions that we don't see, so to speak. The heavens that Paul saw. There, I'd like to think there's rejoicing, and not just because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, although that was great, that was miraculous. God got all the praise, God got all the glory. The Kansas City Chiefs can, from what I understand, can hardly wait to go to the White House, where some of the San Francisco 49ers were turning down the White House before they even played the game. Richard Sherman said, I don't think, myself and some others, we're not going to go to the White House. Well, guess what, Richard? You know what? You don't even get a chance to go to the White House until you win. Now, I've got some beloved friends out there that I know are 49ers fans. Just understand, I was rooting for the team that I was confident would give the glory to God. And that was behind my Kansas City Chief rooting. But number two, how can you deny a fabulous State of the Union address? How can you deny an impeachment acquittal? Even though amazingly, Mazie Hirono, the Democrat from Hawaii, who has come out with more mindless, brain-dead comments in the last 2 weeks than even Nancy Pelosi or Maxine Waters, who said that the president wasn't really acquitted. He wasn't acquitted because the trial wasn't fair. The Iowa Democratic caucus debacle. This is good news. We'll talk about that a little bit later here. Just in here as we're taping this on Friday, the White House announced that two more major terrorists have been killed. I'll tell you, it just keeps getting better. This is one good week. And also just in, I mean, I just saw this before we turned on the mic. Hillary Clinton has now announced that she would be open to accepting a position as a vice presidential candidate. Isn't that interesting? I mean, what does she just do? She just prostitutes herself and for the next trick. Is this the trick, the VP thing? This woman, Hillary, please go away. Come on, you've been obnoxious for a long time, and even the people who voted for you, a lot of them think you're obnoxious. Just leave. Well, there is so much to cover here today, but I want to start with a particular and odd piece of good news. But this debate caused it to come to the surface. As you know, this program broadcasts from Arizona. We've been in California for 30 years. We escaped. But Arizona has had a bill introduced into its legislature by a Republican, a Democrat would never do this, that will require public universities and colleges. And it's interesting, public universities, not private. They don't have any control over private, but public universities and colleges in the state to provide ideologically diverse programming to their students. Now, it's a shame that it's come down to this, but Anthony Kern, the one who introduced it, said this is to ensure that students receive a balanced education. If the bill passes, public universities and campuses will be required to host events featuring speakers from across the political spectrum. And of course, why is this out there? Well, it's because people like Ann Coulter and Ben Shapiro and many others on the conservative side get shut down, refuse. They threaten violence because the colleges are no place to get an education. These days, colleges are where you go to get an indoctrination. And this is important, and it's important for so many reasons. But we are seeing the change in this country because of that which is sheer and pure crapola called education coming out of the universities. And I'll give you one example, and then we're going to get on to our other topics for the day. Vassar. Vassar College now offering, and they're not the first one to do it, they're just the most recent one, that's offering workshops that are called All White People Are Racist. All white people are racist. Is that what you would pay thousands of dollars for, to send your daughter to Vassar for that piece of junk education? Vassar, yeah, I hope you go bankrupt. You know what I think I'd like to see here is I'd like to see, this just popped in my head, Trump talked about funding the historically black colleges and universities, some of which have gone bankrupt. I'd like to see that funding and then the funding cut out for leftist loser white institutions like Vassar and all the others that just can't keep getting dumber and dumber and contending that they are wiser and wiser. I mean, this is just, it's just ridiculous. And so I applaud this bill in Arizona to force the universities to actually do what a university is supposedly there to do, and that's to provide an education, not an indoctrination. One more quick thing along this, and I'll tell you, this is easy for me because I don't drink coffee. I had my first and last cup of coffee in the Army. It tasted like somebody put a ladle into the Mississippi River and struck a fire under it. It was rot gut. It was horrible. Latte, schmante, mocha, schmocha. I can't take any of those things. I sort of like the smell of coffee. If I go to some place like Sprouts and stick my head into a bin of coffee beans, I kind of like that. But that also looks kind of weird. So I don't do that. But now, starting in the UK, Starbucks is going on a tranny bent to accommodate the trannies, and that when you place your order, you now get to identify by whatever name you want to be called. So the first person, a girl whose name was Gemma, decided that she wanted to be known as Jimmy because she wanted the tranny appellation of a male name. Thanks, Starbucks. I've never liked Starbucks. In fact, they know that they're not going to last. I don't want to go into that. Actually, I have a lot to say, but it takes me away from the topic. So let's get to the things that I would like to mention that I think either A, have not been covered on the mainstream media, or B, there are things that have been covered on the mainstream media, but there is a biblical perspective, because that's the purpose for this program, to contemporary events. So I want to just start with the debacle in Iowa, though, and the fact that it's pretty amazing just how messed up it is, but not really amazing in the sense that the whole Democrat Party is out to rip off Bernie Sanders. Again, he got ripped off before by Hillary, and they're out to rip him off again. And so supposedly the other day, Pete Buttigieg leads in delegates. Bernie led in votes, but now they're talking about doing an audit or some sort and recalculating. You know what this reminds me of is it reminds me of Al Franken's move in Minnesota where he demanded a recount because he lost. He lost the first recount, demanded another recount, and I can't remember if he got a third recount. He kept demanding recounts until he finally won. It just took time to fudge the results, like it took time to fudge Obama's birth certificate, which even the head of the forensic studies at a particular institution in Israel said the worst fraud ever perpetrated on civilization was a birth certificate. I won't get into that, but this is what the Democrats do. They are evil. But as it relates to the Iowa fiasco, Andrew Yang, the so-called tech entrepreneur, and maybe he is a tech entrepreneur, what does he blame the Democrat debacle of voting on? That's right, President Trump. He blames the failure of the system in Iowa that Trump is responsible for the Iowa fiasco. Trump. Andrew, you're running against him. He's not a Democrat. He's not part of your precious little delegate count. This is Andrew's quote. It might be helpful to have a president that understands technology so this sort of thing doesn't happen. Yeah, well, so what? So that's a requirement for being president, is that you have to understand the voting mechanics, the electrical and computer algorithms that comprise a voting system is a requirement, Andrew? Well, let me tell you, Andy, there weren't any glitches in the Republican tally. There was a caucus vote for the Republicans in Iowa. It got no press because nothing that happens good in the Republican side gets any press. Obviously, there weren't a whole lot of choices. Trump got 90% of the vote, 97% of the vote, and a couple of others got a few. But it just goes on. And the fact is, the Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, said that the Iowa Democratic Party refused to let them test the app that they used, which failed. Now, what was the company named that ran the Democratic thing? Well, it was two guys. That's right. It's two guys who worked for Hillary Clinton's campaign that were running this. And the name of their company? Shadow Incorporated. How about that? What do we got? A couple of gumshoes here? Democrat gumshoes running this thing? DHS wants to help make sure that the Iowa Democratic Party's app that they're using doesn't fail, so that we don't have any allegations of foreign interference, Russian collusion, blah, 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 blah. The Dems refuse. And apparently by refusing, that leaves open to them the option of contending that there was foreign interference. Because we know the mainstream media will never report the fact that the DHS offered to test their system before they went live with it. Well, Trump's comment, when will the Democrats start blaming Russia? Russia, instead of their own incompetence for the voting disaster that happened in the great state of Iowa. Well, I'll tell you, Andrew, your comment is so stupid. I think you should change your first name to Ying, because I think you're Ying Yang. In my opinion, that's the extent of your intelligence. Mr. Ying Yang, running for president, who believes that somehow a Republican president is responsible for the fiasco among exclusively 100% of the Democrats in their precious little caucuses in Iowa. And, of course, there's the woman who wants to take back her vote now because she found out that Pete Buttigieg was queer. She said, I can't believe he's living with a guy. I want my vote back. They're not letting her. Of course, I don't know how she didn't know that, but nonetheless, that's what she's saying. Anyway, moving along. While running along to our next piece of outright ridiculous stupidity at levels we could not possibly imagine. I don't want to go into much of this because I know it's been covered on the mainstream media. But Adam Schiff claimed that Trump might give away Alaska to the Russians in return for help in the 2020 election. and that he might turn over the running of the government and the right to declare war or whatnot to Donald Trump Jr. while he vacations at Mar-a-Lago. Californians that are in Schiff's district, are you this stupid? Are you this ignorant? Are you on heavy meds that you can't form a complete sentence or a complete thought, that you would elect such a nimrod like this? Or people in Hawaii that are listening to this, that you would, Mazie Hirono, people who are just, I think that their IQ, I don't know what their IQ is, but on a common sense test, these people should be denied the right to do a whole bunch of things for a lack of mental capacity. They are that bad. I mean, is Democrat becoming simply a synonym for just plain stupid? Well, like they said about Barack Obama, I forget the Czechoslovakian philosopher who said this. He said, Barack Obama is not really the problem, because in the next election, he could be unseated. The real problem are all the people that voted for him. Well, the real problem in Orange, in Schiff's district in Hawaii and many others, from Pelosi, San Francisco, to Ocasio-Cortez's district in Hawaii, or I mean in New York, you're the fault. You're the problem that you would have vote for such anti-God, Christian-hating, Constitution-hating, America-hating, brain-dead, moral-less, gutless people. So while you're judging them, Rob, no, it says you shall know them by their fruit. I know bad fruit when I see bad fruit. Well, I thought this was interesting because we're still moving. We're kind of coming into the, well, coming out of, actually, I'm sorry, the Democratic debacle there. But Jeffrey Wright, who's an actor, who is really, really upset at Pete Buttigieg's black staging. And I only mention this because it is such a contrast to the State of the Union address, which is the remaining topic for the rest of this program when we get to it. And I'm going to give you my 10 takeaways from the State of the Union address. But oh, precious little Pete, with his queer partner not in sight, they stack a bunch of black women behind him in this thing. It's sort of like what Hillary had to do, where they had to pay people to come in and fill an auditorium or something. And then when they couldn't get it filled, they took photos and they used the same person's head 37 times in different places around the stadium seating to make it look like it was packed when it was half empty. Well, there's one black woman who said that she was asked three times if she would move from where she was sitting to get in the front row. That's right. She didn't want to be in the front row, but there weren't that many blacks at his rally, and he made a point, or his stagers made a point, of making sure they were all in the front row, because Pete has a problem with the black community on several fronts. Number one, his civil rights record is actually a bit checkered in South Bend, as is his personal life. And number two, which is really number one, blacks are, by and large, are not really into the sodomy thing. They, as I mentioned last week, by the vote in California and other places, when it was broken down racially, you found that the greatest proportion of people who supported legalized sodomy were white and Asian, not black and not Hispanic. So, okay, forget that story. Let's move on here. I have to tell you, I was cheering through the State of the Union address. My wife and I, we were hollering. There were some things that were just so good. They were just priceless. I will tell you right out of the gate here. There were so many good things, but from a policy standpoint of what the president looks to be doing in the future, my number one prized possession, if you will, my prized possession, but prized policy, would be his proposal to allow the victims, descendants, and family of somebody who has been killed or raped or mutilated by an illegal alien who was not apprehended or was apprehended in a sanctuary city but not turned over on an ICE detainer to be able to sue those cities. I have said this a gazillion times before. The only way you can ever get a Democrat's attention is to sue their butt off. You have to spank them financially before they feel anything. That's the only place you can reach them. If they don't hear the gospel, they don't get saved, after that you got one thing: sue their butt off. They understand lawsuits, like the school that kept refusing, a pro-life group had to fork, I forgot what school it was, the other day had to fork over $260,000 in compensation to the student group that wanted a pro-life representation in the school, and the school wouldn't let them. But the very thing that the Arizona bill is designed to correct. Well, that was my favorite piece, but there were just some things that were priceless. And I know that Nancy Pelosi has been covered in great length. Out of my 10 takeaways, which I'm going to get to in a little bit, she occupies two of the 10, but for two different reasons. That's why she's got two different places on my list. But what struck me when I first saw her and her kind of furtive looking around, and when there would be something said, and particularly the comment that Trump made, that he had a lot of good lines and it consummated with the statement that we always will put America first. Nancy is looking around and looking off to her right in an attempt to try to determine whether or not she should clap. It was, and this woman is the leader of the House. She's the Speaker of the House. She's the leader, and she can't decide whether or not she's supposed to clap. Is she that dumb? Is she that drunk? Is she on meds combined with drugs? Is her brain just simply calcified or something? Is it all of the above that causes this woman to be one of the most stupid persons in government today? I think she's a battle for, in my opinion, Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters are in a race for the pole position. They're fighting for it, the pole position to the most stupid person in Congress. Some of the things that they say in the House anyway. I think we got Mazie Hirono leading the pack in the Senate. So anyway, here's what I thought. This is what I was watching her. I was listening to the president, and I was watching her, and a song came to my mind. I just started cracking up. I'm watching her mouth and her face and everything, and her actions. And what came to my mind was, a horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, unless, of course, well, the famous Mr. Ed, or however that song goes. She reminded me of Mr. Ed. Because of Mr. Ed, they would put peanut butter on his lips and on his teeth, and if they would put enough on in the right places, of course, Ed would move his lips around to try to get rid of the peanut butter, and moving his lips around made him look like he was talking. She reminded me of Mr. Ed, that she was moving everything around in her mouth, but still the lips didn't open. I don't know why, but it was weird. It just cracked me up. Anyway, so the other thing that kind of struck me, she's got this deer in the headlights look. And no matter, I don't know what she's thinking, but I think part of what she was thinking as this thing went along was, we're screwed. I mean, that's kind of how I can hear her saying that in her head. We're toast, because it wasn't going the way that she wanted it to go. And the rolling eyes, all of that stuff. The great American comeback. Of course, Trump's approval rating was at an all-time high for him before the speech. And now it has surged, just like the stock market, to yet a brand new high. And the biggest surge is among Hispanics and blacks. which is already, which we're going to touch on in the 10 takeaways when we get to that part. But I couldn't, I just sat there dumbfounded when I saw that the Dems could not rise for anything that was pro-American. They couldn't clap for anything that that dealt with blue-collar employment, which is their former home base, the blue-collar work. They couldn't clap for a low Hispanic black employment, the lowest poverty rate for blacks in recorded history, women's jobs, the lowest unemployment rate for disabled Americans without a high school diploma. It goes on and on and on. And see, he was speaking to many people who have been dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. And this is why they sat on their hands and they couldn't believe that here was a president just simply stripping them of a large portion of their constituents. So 10 million people come off food stamps, or 10 million people went on food stamps, 7 million came off. And of course, you got Rashid Tlaib, who said Trump bragged about taking away people's food stamps. That's a quote. He took away people's food stamps. He didn't take them away. And they got jobs. That's something Democrats don't know anything about, because they don't want prosperous people. They don't want people that are productive. They don't want people paying taxes, because if they had to pay taxes through their job, then guess what? The Democrats wouldn't be able to raise taxes. It isn't that complex. I love the line about the blue-collar boom. You see, Ronald Reagan had the Reagan Democrats that came over and helped him win. There are the blue dog Democrats, the ones who contend that they're relatively conservative. They're a diminishing number in Congress, because even some of the middle-of-the-road Democrat, middle-of-the-road for being a Democrat, not middle-of-the-road, but a middle-of-the-road Democrat, who are they being challenged by, those that occupy those positions in California? All of the middle-of-the-road Democrats in California that are incumbents are being challenged, or almost all of them, are being challenged by the far-left Ocasio-Cortezes and the Rashid Tlaibs, and Rashida, go right on down the line. I love the fact of his calling Tim Scott forward for the work that he has done in the Senate on legislation. And, of course, with a black man, Tony Rankins, who's now a successful entrepreneur. And, of course, there's the nine-year-old girl in, a black girl who was stuck in some loser stinking government school in Philadelphia who couldn't get out, who got the scholarship. You see, this is why the Dems could not clap, because they're watching their constituents get up off the plantation and leave. They couldn't handle the fact that manufacturing jobs are coming back, because it's direct contrast with B.O., Barack Hussein Obama himself, who said, hey, they aren't coming back. Just forget it. Those jobs are not returning. And you know, oddly enough, I'm thankful for Barack Obama, in a sense, because he was so bad that he led to Donald Trump. The worst president in U.S. history paved the way for the best president in U.S. history. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime, so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We are covering the State of the Union address, the best State of the Union address I think I've ever seen in my life. I'm coming up to my 10 takeaways. This is all just preliminary that we're covering here. Before the break, we talked about the fact that the Democrat constituents, which have historically formed the core of the Democrat Party, blacks, other minorities, and blue collars, they're getting up and they are walking off the plantation. But I'm covering all the things that the Democrats couldn't stand up and clap for. Every single one of these things is good. Every single one of them. There was not any negativity. All the negativity here was on the Democrat side. It's like that picture I saw of Pelosi and Schumer, Nadler, and Schiff. I mean, they in this picture, the four of them, they look like they all just swallowed a rotten fig. The look on their mouth is gloom and doom. It's glum and dumb. So manufacturing jobs come back. Do you think the Democrats could clap for the return of 12,000 factories to the United States? No, of course not. Because they like wreckage and havoc. It's how they harvest their voters. I tell you, it's school choice. No, they don't want school choice because they're in bed with the teachers' unions, which have this incestuous relationship with the Democrats. The black who was released to freedom, could they? They did finally applaud criminal justice reform because they claim they had a part in that. But they didn't they couldn't get the credit for it because it took a president like Trump to back it and sign it. They couldn't stand the fact that he would ban late-term abortions. I thought it was sweet. How sweet it was to have a child who survived a birth at 21 weeks when late-term abortions. This little girl up in the gallery would be a goner under if her mother had walked into any abortion clinic in any Democrat-run city across the United States. No. So let's get to the takeaways. I got 10 of them. They aren't in any particular order except maybe the first one. And I've got two in here dealing with Nancy Pelosi because there are two different takeaways as it relates to Nancy Pelosi. But point number one. So what do we come away with from this thing? Well, you know what? I got to stop just a second because I told myself I did not want to forget this. There was one other thing from the speech itself that I really, really appreciated. I was so thankful for the tribute to Rush Limbaugh. To see that man, he's in tears. He's not looking well. To get the Presidential Medal of Freedom and then to have these, I got to say it, they're just a bunch of jackasses in Hollywood that actually were cheering on Limbaugh's cancer. You should read this stuff coming out of different actors and the Kimmels and the Colberts and so forth that can't stand this guy. They're actually applauding the fact that he could be at death's door. This is the degree of demonic activity that identifies one as a Democrat. No morals, no guts, no brains. They ain't got nothing. But the tribute to Rush, from my personal standpoint, is this. You've got your Hannitys, you got your Laura Ingrams, you got your Mark Levins. I think it was 1989 that Rush Limbaugh came on the air. And he set the bar. He still has the bar set. He was a way maker in radio. I'm a little schmo. Trust me, I am thankful to God for our 100,000 plus listeners. Very thankful. But it doesn't compare to those that are others that have their numbers are in the millions. But every single one of us, I don't care how far downline I am in the Amway distribution scheme here, we still owe it to one person, Rush Limbaugh. He set the bar. He set a pattern for talk radio that has done nothing but mushroom, and it has exploded because the Democrats, the leftists, have controlled all other forms of communication. It's all we have left is talk radio and now talk internet radio, which defies further attempts by the Democrats to control what we say. So thank you, Rush. God bless you. And I do pray for I want you to continue to be the worst nightmare the Democrats could ever have. And that would be a miraculous healing from God. I just pray that he would be blessed, that this lung cancer, I know he smokes cigars, maybe he's brought some of it on himself, what have you. But who of us don't have problems that we haven't brought on by ourselves? Even the young man Eutychus that fell out of the third floor window while listening to Paul preaching sometime after midnight. Is it stupid to fall asleep on a third floor open window? Yeah, it was. Negligent? Yeah, it was. Stupid? Yeah, it was. But guess what? God is, if he can heal us from the dead, if he can forgive us of our sins, could he not also forgive us of our negligence? Well, it seems obvious because Paul went down there and laid hands on the guy and he was healed. He was raised up. So regardless of the cause of this for Rush, I just pray that he would in fact be healed and be back at that microphone full throttle till we get through this next election. Okay, I better get going here. Number one, and I think this is number one, understand that the media, with very few exceptions, Rush being one of them, talk radio, to some extent Fox and then Breitbart and a few places like that, the media controls what the great, great majority of Americans see and hear 364 days and 22 and a half hours a year. There's only 1.5 hours out of the entire year that the media does not control, the mainstream media. And guess what it is? It's the State of the Union address. This is the only time that somebody who is out of favor with the deep state, with the Democrats, the Rhino Republicans, the Mitt Romneys, more on him later if we get to it. This is the only time they get to speak before a nationwide audience of all people, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter, men, women, young, old, disabled, healthy, everybody has a chance to hear the president in an unvarnished form say and speak from his heart. It's the only time. And this is what the Democrats can't stand. They can't stand light. They can't stand a flashlight underneath being shined underneath their refrigerator. They can't stand the truth. It's why they need to suppress it. But you can't kill the truth. You can attempt to suppress it, and you can try to ignore it. But to have this man speak to millions and millions of people, and they just got to sit there on their hands and their white dresses and just take it. That was takeaway number one, is thank God for the State of the Union address, which is so established both as a matter of policy, as a matter of civic responsibility, and as a matter of our Constitution, that even the Democrats can't take it away. So 1.5 hours for people to finally hear the truth without somebody butting in and lying and telling them what they ought to believe. Takeaway number two, I understood afterwards why Schumer wanted so badly for the State of the Union address to be put off until after the impeachment. Now, it's difficult for me to say if he had given the speech after the impeachment vote, how would this have played out? The fact of the matter is, it was such a rousing success, the speech. Did it influence some votes? I don't know. It very well may have. Now, the ones that we thought might have voted to support the president, who are Democrats, Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema from Arizona, who actually did stand and applaud the president on a number of things, but she still voted to impeach him. And there's one other one. I can't even think of it right now. But anyway, this is why Schumer's trying to manipulate the impeachment vote by getting the president to change his State of the Union address. What is it, Schumi baby, that you are afraid of? You're afraid that the truth might impact and affect your demonic, diabolical attempt to dump a legitimately elected president? I think so. Number three, and I've already referenced this somewhat. Number three, though, Trump stole. No, I didn't steal. He commandeered the Democrat optics, starting with the 9-year-old black girl that I referenced, stuck in that loser school in Philadelphia, who gets a scholarship and she gets it there on the spot, with the Tuskegee Airmen, who I don't know who it was, some Democrat was railing on the Tuskegee Airmen. I don't know, like Tim Scott, Tony Rankins, a guy who is homeless and drug addicted, who now is a successful entrepreneur. You could see the reaction when the little bit that the camera showed it of the left, when any one of these blacks in from very, very different situations was highlighted and recognized. You could see it on the faces of the Democrats, and right down to Tim Scott. It's sort of like they were saying, "Hey, you guys, you're supposed to belong to us. Where are you going? Get back on the plantation. Get back where you belong." It was palpable, and I loved it that they are that scared of this next election that they have to go after the president and can't support. They can't support any level of success by those individuals who have been captive inside their party for decades. This is just, well, that's what it is. Number four, the speech helped identify more swamp creatures that exist in Washington. And the speech forced some people to do some things that, I don't know, they would, and most notably here, it's Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, who, of course, voted against the president, who, I got to tell you, he's now hiding behind his religion. He said, "I took an oath before God to do justice, and I am going to keep my oath before God to do justice." I want to tell you what a bunch of hypocritical crapola Romney's statement is, which has now come out, that the note that he gave to the other legislators. This is a guy, the oath before he took about justice. This is a guy who's now just been outed as Pierre Delecto. How choice is that? Pierre Delecto. Pierre Delecto is the alter ego name for Mitt Romney's Twitter account, so it wouldn't be traced to Mitt Romney, where he could troll Donald Trump, where he could bash conservative ideas under the name of Pierre Delecto, and no one would know it's Mitt Romney. This is a Mitt Romney who did absolutely nothing in 2003 as governor of Massachusetts to stop the movement towards queer marriage or do anything about Massachusetts Supreme Court decision, make any attempt to seriously defend traditional marriage in the Massachusetts courts, or this is a guy who is governor of Massachusetts who did nothing to seriously defend right to life. This is the guy who is the governor of Massachusetts who instituted the first state-run health care in the United States and set the stage for the deplorable, unaffordable Care Act by BO. This is the guy who now contends in the name of justice that he takes his oath to uphold justice before God. You sanctimonious, hypocritical liar. I hope your rich tush gets tossed out in the next Senate Republican primary in the state of Iowa. And they're probably lining up there. But you see, Donald Trump, by this speech, continues to one way or the other, and it's not his intention. It keeps flushing out more of these deep state swamp creatures. See, you don't know who the creatures are until you drain the swamp, right? You see, you got to find out who's lurking at the bottom of that mud pit. And one of them is Mitt Romney. Pierre Delecto. So you're fooling everybody. You got a false Twitter account so you can trash and bash people but not be identified to you? Tell me, Mitt, how are you upholding an oath before God in the name of justice? Gosh. Now, I want to tell you a little side effect of all this, and that is Romney's vote was desired. And now everything about Romney is coming out from conservatives who have held back because they wanted his vote. They needed his support. They thought they needed his support. Turned out they didn't. Now it's coming out how every time that Mitt Romney and Bain Capital got a business to go bankrupt and then shipped it overseas, Mitt Romney's company made $20,000 for every single American worker who lost his job by a company that they shipped overseas. I'm just getting started. The stuff is coming out, but I can't spend any more time on that because we've got six more points to cover. Number five. The takeaway here, for those people who actually don't read the news, don't listen to talk radio, don't do any of that, and the State of the Union is your only snapshot of what is going on, you got to see Nancy Pelosi. This is Pelosi point number one. For the fifth grader, no, I'm sorry. And you know what? I'm here to apologize to any fifth graders and all fifth graders that are listening to this program. Because you have a higher sense of civic responsibility and kindness and courtesy and decorum than this bag from San Francisco. She showed herself to be the immature, ranting, whining little brat that she is. And I wanted people to see. That, to me, is a takeaway. They finally get to, if your only impression of Nancy Pelosi is based on her twitting, kind of jerking around with her face and her mouth and the deer in the headlight look and all of that stuff going on there, if that's your only thing, and then the ripping up, of course, of the speech afterwards, if this is your only view of Nancy Pelosi, you'll see just how bad the Democrat leadership is, and just how lost, foolish, or immoral the voters of San Francisco are that continue to put her in office. Point number six, the Republican Party is becoming more black, more Hispanic, more blue-collar, and the loser leftist whites are gone and good riddance. Just take the next chuck wagon out of here. I will tell you and get those rhinos, the whites that are in the Republican Party that are deep state rhinos, part of the swamp culture of Washington, D.C., go to the Democrat side. Just let's just pull the veil back. We see you for who you are. Just get lost. Well, I got to keep moving here. The Democrats, point number six, it's obvious. Point number seven, I'm sorry. The Democrats hate peace and prosperity. That's right. It was obvious from this. Democrats have to wreck or destroy something in a country to be able to get power. There is no clap. There was not one single cheer for one single thing that involved American peace and prosperity. Not one. Wow. Even this is takeaway point number eight. Nancy Pelosi, and thank you to Billy, our Las Vegas Red Sky Radio bureau chief, who sent me the video. It is a fact. You can't help but ignore it. But seeing that Nancy Pelosi said, I shredded this because he shredded the truth. Nancy Pelosi was picking up the papers of the speech and doing, she started to have little tears. You could see her working furtively underneath the table that she was at, starting the ripping of the speech long before she heard the alleged lies. She wasn't waiting for the alleged lies to actually materialize in order for her to start shredding the paper. And so I was wondering afterwards, what's she trying to do? It looked like she was trying to rip them, but she wasn't. You know what? And you can see this easily. She was trying to get all the little rips she had already started to line up so that she could rip it all at once. Nancy, you fake little twit. You set up, you said this was spontaneous. It wasn't. You had it planned. That's just how bad you are. Point number nine. I wish I could read his comments. Even Van Jones, the former communist who now works for CNN, he's black. He said, hey, I wish I could read all of this. I don't have time. He said, hey, Democrats, you're in trouble because this president is taking your base. And actually, he's not really taking them. They're simply following them. It goes back to Trump's statement from 4 years ago. He said, hey, blacks, Hispanics, why don't you just trust me for a chance? What do you have to lose? The Democrats have never done anything for you. What do you have to lose? And I'm thrilled to say that the black support for Donald Trump has now crested 40%. It was 6 for John McCain, 7 for Mitt Romney, or the other way around. No wonder Mitt Romney hates him so much, because Trump is doing what Romney could not do. Point number 10. I got to get a Bible passage in here, but it fits so well. Point number 10. It is Psalm 109. Turn to Psalm 109. Sounds like I'm preaching, doesn't it? Well, I guess for the next few minutes, I am in the last couple minutes of this program. Here's what Psalm 109 says in the first 8 verses. I want to read this to you and consider how applicable this psalm written by David is to Donald Trump, if Donald Trump wrote this psalm. Consider this. He says, hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked, note that, the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about, well, that's the impeachment, also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. There's no basis to the impeachment, right? Fought against me without a cause. And for my love, what was Trump's love? He loves America. He loves everybody. I mean, everybody. He wants to make life better for everyone. And a lot of people who didn't believe that originally are now believing it. He says, for my love, as before love to this country and my countrymen, they are my adversaries. How true is that? The Democrats hate him for the love of the country. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over them, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. This is Nancy Pelosi, who said she was praying for Donald Trump. This is a woman who's Catholic, whose own priest won't let her take communion in San Francisco because she supports the slaughter of the children inside the womb. This prayer says, let even her prayer become sin. And indeed it is. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. I could just switch this around and let his, Adam Schiff's, let her, Nancy Pelosi. I just remembered, I skipped one of my 10. I want Nancy Pelosi to not resign. I'll cover it next week. But let his days be few. Let Schiff's days be few. Let Pelosi's days be few. Let Schumer's days be few. All those who have hated me without a cause, and let another take his office or her office. Oh my gosh. This is like Donald Trump. I wish we could have gotten this psalm to him. But he didn't have to read it. He already feels it and he knows it. Yes, I did forget Nancy Pelosi. I want you to remain as the head of the Democrat Party so everybody can see what the Democrats are really like. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Remember, you sit tall on the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.